is who he say he is, and we are who we say we are, we can surely do better than that. Amen. Let me say, if God woke you up this morning, saints, if God is continually taking care of you, we surely can do better than that, saints. Because guess what? Praise is what we do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is a faithful and trusting God. Amen. This morning, I just want to say to Sister Grigg, it's good to see you. Amen. Amen. You know we love you. Anything that you need for us to do, don't hesitate to call. Amen. So good to see her. But today there is a word from the Lord, saints. And it's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter. When you turn there, go to verse 44. And when you get there, please stand. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. And it reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You may be seated. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that particular field. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just simply ask you, Lord, to fill me, Lord, with your love, your grace, and your strength, Lord, as I preach your word, Lord, to your people. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, for a special filling today, Lord. Because, Lord, without you, I can't do anything. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will use me in a way that you desire to use me, Lord. Lord, I stand naked before you, Lord. Not hiding anything, Lord, but asking you, Lord, to fill me with your spirit. Lord, I just also pray, Lord, for those that are hearing your word today, Lord, that you will open up their hearts, Lord, that they may receive what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, I give you honor this morning. I give you praise this morning. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I'm going to just preach one verse, but there's a small avenue that I must go down before I get to this main verse. Saints, the world and the church are going down a dangerous path. This path is easy to explain. So there is a path that the world and and the church decided to take. But it can be easily summed up by four things. If you can look at the progression of the church, you can see that these four things make sense. What are they? First, they reject the Bible. That's the first thing. Meaning that there is no absolutes anymore. Second, they turn morality upside down. That's second. Woe unto him, the Bible says, who calls good evil and evil good. The third, they demand tolerance, then become intolerant of those who are not tolerant of their sins. What's the last one? The last one is quickly approaching us, saints. And sadly, it's here. The last one is persecution. We reject the Bible. We turn morality upside down. They demand tolerance. Then they are intolerant of those that are not tolerant of their sin. And lastly, persecution. That's the path that the church and the world is continuing to go down. I don't see it reversing its course in sight. I don't see it in sight. Most of the time in your life, as Christian, the truth is the only thing you have to hold on to. Saints, most of the time in this Christian life, the truth, the absolute word of God, is the only thing that we have to hold on to. You can go down any other path that you want to, but you don't have to come back to the truth. Think about it. The truth, the word of God, the inspired truth, is the only thing that we have to hold on to as Christians. This world has us duped. This world has put blinders on us to think that we can be satisfied in other things outside the word of God. We have this terrible habit or saying we love Jesus, saying that we are Christian, but we don't do what the Word of God says. In other words, our words are empty. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? That's what we're saying. We say these things. It doesn't matter what you verbally say unless you're doing them. I can say all day that I'm a Christian. I can confess that I know Scripture. But what are you doing about knowing these Scripture? What's the example at in your life? What is the pattern that you live by? What is your core convictions in life? Saints, when we live out this Christian life, we must be examples of how we live out this word of truth. We can't continue to go down the same dysfunctional path and expect things to change. Young people, we can't continue to hang around the same bad group of friends and think our attitude toward our parents is going to change. It's not going to happen. A little leaven, guess what? Leaven the whole lump. It doesn't matter what you verbally claim unless you're doing what you actually mean, what is actually meant in the Word of God. They hear and they don't do. Their hearts are empty. Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these things of mine and do them and don't do them is like a wise man who built his house on sand. A lot of people hear the word of God, but it's the ones that are doing it all truly saved. What are you saying, preacher? There's a lot of people that come to church, like this morning. There's a lot of people in here. There's a lot of people listening to what I'm saying. That's not enough to save you. You have to take into practice what I hear in the word of God and leave here and do them. And I'm not talking about perfect Christian. I'm not saying that we don't sin. But what is your consistent pattern in life? Do you practice sin or do you fall to sin? Lots of people hear the word of God, but they don't do. If it is all hearing and not doing, don't think for 1 minute that you are a Christian. Only listening, but never doing. Only listening to the word of God, but never doing. You heard me say before, look at the Christian Facebook. Look at the posts that Christians are making. I know it's going to get quiet in here, but look at the Skype. Look at the Facebook posts. In our Facebook posts, we holler, world, 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 world. But Sunday morning, we holler, the Lord is sovereign. He is my rock. He is my fortress. But Monday on Facebook, there's world, the world. Then Sunday morning, I'm blessed of the Lord. Right? But what are we doing as Christians? James 1 and 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. We are only fooling ourselves if we only listen to God's word and never do. Titus 1 and 16. They profess to know God, but their deeds deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. God cannot use us when we are not following him. And you know what the sad thing about being a Christian is? And you hear it snippet. They don't say it outright. People will say or tell you that you can't live this Christian life without falling really low to sin. You put it like this. You got to experience life in order to live a fruitful life in Christ. There are people out there that don't believe that you can save yourself for marriage, that you don't have to shack up, that you don't have to fornicate, that you, they in their mind will say that you can't live the Christian life without doing that. They won't come out and say it. They won't come out and say that look here. If we can't live a holy life through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, why do we serve God? If God is powerful enough to save me from hell, but he's not powerful enough to keep me from shacking up, to keep me from fornicating, to keep me from smoking dope, to keep me from doing anything that is detestable for him, why should I serve him? That's not a God I serve. And we say this in a roundabout way, that you can't live this Christian life without messing it up. That's what we say. We got to be doers of the word. Obedience to Christ, saints, is the only validation that you know Jesus Christ. Doing his word, obeying his commandment, is the only way that you can say that you are truly a Christian. That's the only way I can say that I'm truly a Christian. If I live by the word of God, if I continue to fight my temptation. Now, saints, if it's a large crowd and they're doing the wrong thing, somehow we think the wrong thing is truth. I continue to tell my kids that it's never okay. Let me get this right, Sidney. It's never okay to do the wrong thing for the right reason. It's never okay to do what is wrong for a reason in your mind that you think is right. I'm saved, but I don't obey his word. Sorry, you're self-deceived. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the son of disobedient. Colossians 3:6. I'm a Christian. As soon as the word of God is laid at your feet and the demands of the word of God is laid at your feet, you go astray. You're quickly offended by something that's supposedly to give you light to your soul. What are you saying, preacher? There's a lot of people that are saying that they love the word of God, that they love Christ, but as soon as they are confronted with the word of God, they're offended and leave the church. Right? Saints, we can't continue to go down this wrong path, this wrong legacy of unbelief, this long legacy of sins in our family, and not make a change. We can't witness to the world, because guess what they say? They're worse than me. Why should I go to church? They're doing some of the same things I'm doing. Why come to church? They going to the same concerts that I'm going to. Why should I go to church? They're hanging out in some of the same clubs that I hang out. So why go to church? I see them at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning sneaking just like I am. So why I'm going to church? Saints, you'll be amazed. As I work my job as a federal investigator, it's sad to see how many preachers we have on surveillance. And that's just the truth. It's sad to see how many deacons, elders in the church serving out front that are on surveillance. And they're not on surveillance for preaching the gospel either. And I'm not telling you something that I don't know or that I didn't see myself. A lot of these pastors with huge church doing anything under the book. The subject for today, it is all of God or none. It's all of God or none. Head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. Don't be deceived, saints. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor adulterer, nor adulteress, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedies, nor drunkard, nor reviler, nor swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. And he said, See that you are not led astray, for many, many saints will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time is at hand. Do not go astray or do not be led astray by them. And when you hear of wars and turmoil, do not be terrified, for these things will take place first, but the end will surely come. Saints, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived as Christian. What is a true Christian? What do a true Christian look like? There are three elements. They know the Bible is true. They believe Jesus is real. They trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say that again. Three things. They know the Bible is true. They believe Jesus is real. They trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Listen to this. They know the Bible is true. They believe Jesus are real. Those two qualities Satan has. You need the third one. The devil, what? Believes and trembles. The first two qualities, saints, Satan has. Satan believes the word of God is true. He knows Jesus is real because he's scared of him. Satan has those two qualities. You need the third one. The truth, or you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. Not that he rose, like we always say, on the third day with all power in his hand. No, that's not true. Because Jesus couldn't pass through the crucifixion of the cross without having all power already in his hand. He didn't rise with all power in his hand. He already had it when he was sitting on the right hand of his Father. Grace. What about grace, preacher? What about grace? There's a such thing out there now that they call, the theologian called, cheap grace. And what's so wrong with cheap grace? Let me tell you. It calls people to never examine themselves. What else? It calls people not to examine their own life. What else? It calls people not to deal with their sins. That's cheap grace, saints. Are you self-deceived? Do you bang your drum to one doctrinal point of theology? Are you overindulged in the name of grace? All grace, grace, grace. Romans 6:1-2. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Saints, we can't say that we love Jesus, but we continue to practice, create, and do sins. We can't be shacking up, fornicating, smoking dope, doing everything under the sun, and talking about Jesus is real. And again, saints, I'm not talking about Christian who's perfect. I'm talking about Christian who live a consistent life that is dominated by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about, saints. A kind of Christian life that you can pass on to your children, and your children can pass on to the next generation. And I said it before, saints, that there are things that I went through in life that I want to be better for my children. And I don't have to say that and then try to slam my parents. That's not what I'm trying to do. When I'm saying that each life for a Christian, each generation for a Christian should get better and better and better. That's all I'm saying. Amen. But saints, we can't have the same sin dominating one generation to the next generation to the next generation without us making a change. Are we deceived? Saints, is all of God or none? Why do we have the Lord's table? Why do we have the Lord's table? That a man may examine himself. Examine yourself to see if you are of the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. That's 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Saints, we should examine ourselves, examine how we walk, examine who we hang around. We should take note of what we're doing in life to see if we are saved or not. Test yourself. Not by something external, but with the Word of God. Now, there is a mindset that the theologian call the fair exchange approach. Trading off negative for the positive. Don't ever examine ourselves. I did this good thing today, so it cancels out all the bad things I did on yesterday. It's a fair exchange. I participate in this ministry at church, so for the next 2 Wednesdays, I don't have to come to Bible study. I led the evangelism ministry in the inner city. For the next 3 or 4 Sundays, I'm going to be absent because I got stuff to do at home. It's a fair exchange principle in the church. It's not going to work, saints. It's not going to work. We can't just say we love Jesus in his word, but don't obey it. We can't just be hearers of the words and never doers. If we are empty, if we have empty words and an empty heart, we are not truly Christian saints. We have to be doers of the words. We have to be obedient to God's word. Now, let's get to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44. And it will answer this question. What does a true Christian look like? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Jesus' parables were simply word pictures with profound spiritual lessons. Jesus wrote them to hide the truth from anyone without the discipline or desire to see our Christ's meaningful life on the cross. Jesus wrote this as a divine judgment against those who meet his teaching with scorn and unbelief and apathy. This is why Jesus Christ is writing this parable. So Jesus Christ is writing these parables to hide the truth from people who has bad motive toward him. The parables are only for those who love Jesus Christ. It's only revealed to those who desire to follow him. So in verse 13, in chapter 13 and verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. Let's deal first with the kingdom of heaven. Let's deal first with the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's a realm where Christ sovereignly rules over us. It's a realm where Christians eternally are blessed. Is a realm of salvation. It's the centerpiece of God's glory. It consists of everything eternal, everything that is true and intrinsically that has intrinsic value, everything that is permanently incorruptible and undefiled. That's the kingdom of heaven. What is the treasure? Treasure is salvation, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, virtue, goodness, glory, eternal life in heaven, the presence of God, Christ himself, everything eternal, everything that has eternal value is encompassed in the treasure of the kingdom of God. This treasure. So what does this mean? I hear you throwing out all these definitions. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. The eternal resting place, this is the kingdom of heaven, the eternal resting place where Christ sovereignly rules and where you can find forgiveness of sin, the love of Jesus, and a place where you can enjoy God forever. What's the goal of every Christian? Is to enjoy Christ forever. That's our goal. What's the motive of every Christian? Is to what? Bring glory to his name. What's the mission? The reason why we're here for Christians is to make what? Disciples. The motive, glorify God. The mission, make disciples. That's for everybody that is created by God. That's for all of us. The kingdom of God is what? Like a hidden treasure. Why is it hidden? Why is it hidden from us? As a hidden treasure, the treasure has to be shown to us by Jesus. Why? Because no one come unless the Father who sent him draws them. John 6 and 44. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." John 3 and 3. Because Satan, who is the God of this world, who you serve, saints, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is exalted beyond many. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. You can't believe without the Holy Spirit quickening you. You can't come to Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit drawing you. Saints, think about it. If we have altar call, and 100 people come down to the altar, and then the next Sunday at church, you don't see but two of them. What do you think about that? If Christ is drawing 100 people, next Sunday, guess what? 100 people are going to be here. There are emotion involved in people coming. There are people that are better than me and drawing people to the altar. There are people who have creative words. There are people who has a huge vocabulary. There are people who has that took drama. There are people who can appeal to your heart better than me. But those that are drawn by Christ are the ones that are truly saved. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching. It doesn't matter if a little child is preaching. That's why, saints, that's why you can't disciple a person who walks down the aisle that is not truly saved. We can't. We can't do that. We can't disciple them. The treasure is hidden from them. Yes, it is hidden until God opened their eyes. When God's opened your eyes to the centerpiece of his glory, to the truth, to everything eternal, to forgiveness of sin, to joy, to peace, to love, to grace, you would be foolish to be unwilling to relinquish everything that you own in this life. Once God, Once you see God high and lifted up, you will be foolish to not sell everything that you have to gain him. Luke 9 and 62. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hands to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God." I will take all of Jesus in exchange for none of the world, none of my plans, none of my achievements, none of my accomplishments. Saying it's all or none. It's all, young people, or none. Choose this day whom you will serve. If it's Baal, if it's Satan, follow him. If it's truly God, guess what? Follow him. But choose this day whom you will serve. Think about it, saints. And y'all hear me say this all the time. The Christian, it doesn't matter what color you are, the Christian has the ministry of reconciliation. You can't reconcile both sides to Christ if you have already chosen side. The Christian have a ministry of reconciling the left and the right to Jesus Christ. You can't reconcile the left and the right to Jesus Christ if you have chosen a side. For those that don't get it, I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about the social gospel. We as Christians, we can't say that we love Jesus. There's no race under Jesus. But when we leave this church house, we have a different vocabulary. We have one vocabulary when we're with them. We have another vocabulary when we're with them. And then we say, Jesus has given me the ministry of reconciliation. To do what? To do what? Saints, there's never going to be a reconciliation in the social issue without the gospel. You can't reconcile anyone without the gospel. And y'all heard me say this again. Heard me say this. The gospel, the word of God, Jesus Christ, offers us things that we do not want to hear naturally. That's the gospel. So if you heard things that are tickling your ear, you haven't heard the gospel. Because the gospel makes us uncomfortable. The gospel changes our life. The gospel makes us do things that we don't want to do. The gospel will make you say sorry when you don't want to. The gospel offers us things that we do not want to hear naturally. If you haven't done this, you haven't heard the gospel. You haven't heard the gospel, saints. If we can go to a church, if we can do things that makes us, or hear things that makes us comfortable in our sins, that's not truly the gospel. If we continue to go down the same generation that people call cursed, if our family continue to have the same curse in the family, we're not living out the gospel. Says we can't continue to go down the same path. And I tell parents, fight for your family, but only fight with the word of God. If you have hundreds and hundreds of divorces in your family, fight to teach your kids about a godly marriage. Don't continue to raise them and allow them to continue to go down the same path that is plaguing your family. I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, go to the word of God, get some ammo in order to do spiritual warfare against those sins. Stop going down the same road. If all your brothers and sisters ran the streets, when you are in Christ, don't you continue to run the street. Break that cycle. Saints, that's the gospel. The gospel offer us hope, forgiveness of sin, and a new direction in life. And if you are listening to anything else that doesn't change your walk, your daily walk, you haven't heard the gospel. You haven't heard the gospel. Where was I? Back to verse 44. Which a man found, this is the third part of it, and cover up. Then in his joy, he goes and sell all that he has and buys that field. Let me say this before we talk about the rest of this verse. I don't want us as Christians that think that the Bible is talking about this man stealing somebody else's treasure. Right? We know God is not talking about stealing. The treasure found in the field clearly didn't belong to the landowner. If it had been a landowner, he would have dug it up before he sold the field to this man. So we're not talking about stealing, saints. God opens up your eyes to the kingdom of heaven. And you see God as who he is. When God is high and lifted up, when God had bridged the gap between a sinful man and a holy God, you realize that we have encountered the treasures of heaven. You realize that all you need in life is life and godliness, life in Christ and godliness. You realize that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You have so much joy that you give up everything in your life to obtain it, to keep it. This is what this verse is talking about. You are willing to give up every single thing that you value in life in order to serve a committed life to Christ. It's all of Christ, saints, or none. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them rubbish in order to gain Christ, Philippians 3 and 8. Everything with earthly value is wood, hay, and stubble, 1 Corinthians 3. 12 and 13. Saints, you're willing to give up every single thing in order to gain this treasure in heaven. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to stop doing in order to make your life productive in Christ? Young people, what friends are you willing to drop in order to gain closeness to Christ? Saints, what are we willing to do? What are you willing to do in order to gain Christ? Picture this. This man finding something so valuable that the joy of finding this treasure is so overwhelming that he goes and sells everything in order to obtain it. Of course, he could not depart without this treasure. He had to go back. Of course, he couldn't go on living the same way he was living prior to finding this treasure. It changed his life, saints. Of course, he couldn't go back to his old life after finding this treasure. This treasure, saints, had a profound effect on this man's life. To a point that he went and sold everything that he had in order to gain it. What are we willing to do, saints, in order to gain that committed life to Christ? What is it? Is it fame? Is it money? Is it control? Is it education? Is it houses? Is it cars? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a girlfriend? What are you willing to sell? What are you willing to give up in order to gain that committed life to Christ? That's the challenge today, saints. Are you willing to give up everything on earth so I can have a good marriage? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up in order for you to have a good marriage? What kind of hours am I going to cut in order to come home and teach my kids the Word of God? What changes I'm going to make to not allow my sons and daughter to experience being a alcoholic or a drug addict? What sacrifice I'm going to make in my life today to change that? Or will I continue to go down this road, ignoring the fact that that generation that I had prior to me was rooted and grounded in children out of wedlock, that the life that I had prior to salvation was doom and gloom for me? Why would I want to go down that path, saints? Why would I continue to raise my children to go down that same path? Why do in the church we continue to go down the same tradition that pulls us away from Christ instead of drawing us near to Christ? Why do we continue to go down this way of life that leads to doom and gloom? Saints, we have to change. We have to change, saints. And it's not going to be easy. And let me tell you this. When you take a stand in order to change your legacy in Christ, you will be confronted by the enemy. You will face resistance. You will face it, saints. If something is unbiblical, it doesn't matter if 400 to 1,000 people are doing it, if it's unbiblical. If something is true, it doesn't matter if you're the only one doing it. And that's what we must live by, saints. Because guess what? It's all or none. A man found something so valuable that he sold everything that he owned in order to get it. He was so eager to surrender everything he had in order to gain that treasure that came with so much joy. The fruit and necessary proof of the union in Christ, or a true disciple of Christ, is the surrenderance to his authority and a wholehearted trust in him as both Lord and Savior. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16 and 22. Today, saints, and I'm finished. If the Lord Jesus Christ is asking you to sell, to give up all that you have in order to gain a committed life to him, today, do it. Don't buy into this pharic change mindset that just because I do this, I do that, and that cancels out all the negative things that I did. Saints, we are created to worship God in his spirit and in truth. And we can't do this if we're not a Christian. We can't do this if we're not a Christian. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word.